She couldn't hear out of her right side, so y'all, if you would, just remember her in prayer. God told Abraham, take Isaac up the mountain. There make him a sacrifice to me. And I know tears rolled down and breath was hard to come by. Why Abraham was knelt there on his knees. So hand in hand they headed up the mountain. He thought about the thing that laid in store. Like shattered glass inside his heart was breaking. Cause he'd never known a pain like this before. Too soon they reached the spot where they were going. And he laid Isaac down on his deathbed. His heart raced as he drew the knife to strike him. But a God of mercy stopped him and he said, I just wanted you to know exactly how it feels to watch the son you love walk up the lonely hill, to feel the pain inside as your heart breaks in your chest, to lose the very thing that you love the best. Now you've walked the walk, and I know you understand the price that must be paid to correct the sins of man. You'll know just how I feel when they walk him up that hill. I just wanted you to know exactly how I feel when they walk him up that hill. I just wanted you to know. Amen. Whew, thank God he walked up. He didn't even make him give up Isaac. He didn't make him give up Isaac. Right there, Genesis 22, if you read, he says, he drew the knife back and God said, Abraham, Abraham. He stopped him right there and sent the sacrifice that was in the bushes. Thank God. Thank God when he walked his son up that hill. What else? That's right, brother. Amen. Ain't nothing else to say. Thank you.
About it, brother.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
you. Good? Say amen. That old story never gets old, you know, y'all. It never gets old. The Lord's the only thing in the world worth living for. Everything else will eventually fail you. That's why the old preacher said, I'd rather fail in something that will eventually triumph than to triumph in what's going to eventually fail. That's the philosophy of this world. It'll eventually fail. Amen. When I talk about hell this morning, have you thought today how glad you ought to be you're not going to burn in hell? Amen. Has it dawned on you lately? That'll put a rabbit in your feet. Amen. Amen. Boy, it's good to be saved. Somebody want to stand up and brag on the Lord. I ain't got a shouting message tonight unless you're a weirdo. So do it now. Go ahead.
God, I thank the Lord that he looked down for me one time and sat on my heart. Amen. Give me an opportunity to accept a free gift from him that I didn't deserve.
Come on.
Amen. I was back there this morning. I was sitting there waiting to get up and preach. And one of the little boys come back there and he said, what's them three crosses, man? He said, I said, what you saying? He said, what them three crosses, man? And I said, man, I'm in hell. I'm going to heaven. Amen. Woo! Glory to God.
Amen.
Hey, man, that's something to shout about.
Yes, it is.
Well,
amen. I mean, that's unsaved this morning, didn't we? That's unsaved. Amen. Back at 2 this morning. Them buses, keep them buses rolling, people. That's what it's all about. Anybody else, right quick, stand up and brag on the Lord. Y'all come on and get ready for offering, fellas. Amen. Amen. Anybody else, right quick. All right, let's all stand. Let's all stand. Get ready to give and honor the Lord. It's the first of the month, so you want to be sure and give this evening. Honor God. Give and honor God this evening. And Lord, bless you for it. Bless you for it. Don't hold back. When your taxes come back, remember the Lord. Put Him first. Let's pray. God, thank you so much, Lord, for the good, sweet spirit we feel in here tonight. Thank you for the blessed Holy Ghost who convicts us, who draws us, who comforts us, who blesses us, who leads us in all truth. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for a church we got to come to. Lord, you've been good to us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this offering tonight. Let it be what you want it to be. Touch the service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Everybody give. Decision on what to do with me the next day or two. All right. Get your Bibles open now. I hate to cough. Cough don't help nothing. It makes you want to cough more. All coughing does is make you want to cough more. I didn't really need to cough until I started coughing. Genesis chapter 23. Excuse me. Genesis 23. And Joshua chapter 7, the book of Joshua, chapter number 7. We'll look tonight. All right. Now I want you to listen, stay with me tonight, because I'm going to do, of course, this is extremely different than what I usually do. I always just haul off and preach something that'll help you to live right and everything. Tonight, we're going to do a Bible teaching, preaching study on to bury or to burn. What the Bible says about cremation and burial. The reason I'm doing this, I have not slid off into some kind of weird lifestyle or belief, and I'm obsessed with necrophilism or something or other. But I've had so many people ask me all the time. I'm telling you, it's changed in the last 20 years. Years ago, nobody asked me about this. Hardly ever heard of it. Here in the last 5 years, I'm going to show you why, I have people all the time ask me, is it right to cremate? Is it wrong to cremate? What do you think about cremation? All the time. So let's look, like we do on everything else, to the Bible. Our final authority on anything is the Bible. Right? That's why we say Bible preaching is our website, the name of our radio program, the name of our web page or whatever you call it thing, Bible preaching. We believe that the Bible is sufficient. It's final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And if something's wrong, it'll tell you it's wrong. If something's right, it'll tell you it's right. So leave me on this in just a minute, Brother Mike. I'm going to talk just for a minute. Now, please don't feel bad here tonight if you have, in the past or maybe even recently, your family has... what's the matter? I hear you talking back there. Am I back off or something? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. This little one is weak. Yep, just a little on it. Thank you, brother. I'm not trying to make you feel bad if you've had somebody in your family cremated at all. Actually, there's nowhere in the Bible where it just comes right out and condemns it. But on the other hand, we're going to look and see what the Bible does teach. Genesis 23, we'll start there tonight, and I do want you to keep your Bibles handy as we'll be turning to a few scriptures. Get this down one time, you won't never have to fool with it again. Then when people ask you, you can tell them or get this CD or whatever. Genesis 23 and verse 19. A great woman died here. Her name was Sarah. She was Abraham's wife. Bible said here, and after this, Abraham buried his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. There's no doubt about it, burying people in the ground or in some kind of tomb was the standard way of handling a person after they died. Joshua chapter 7, I'll show you a place, an example of closest you found to cremation. Joshua chapter 7. Achan, the man who had rebelled against God and stole those things, a Babylonian garment, and stole that silver and stuff, God commanded that he be stoned and killed because of him breaking the law. Joshua chapter 7, verse 25. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones, and after they stoned him, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stone. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. A biblical burial tonight is like Abraham and Sarah. Joseph's bones were not even left in Egypt. Though he died hundreds of years before, they buried his bones in the ground, and when they left Egypt, they were commanded to dig up his bones and take them with them when they went into the Canaan land. God himself personally buried Moses somewhere. His place of burial has never been found unto this day. That's in Deuteronomy 34 and verse number 5. All the way through the Old Testament, when a person died, they didn't talk about being embalmed. They would bury their body. The only case of them burning a body was in the case of Achan there, or the false gods, or somewhere where there was rebellion, or somewhere a false god, or something like that. The normal means of disposing a human body was to lay it to rest inside the ground or in a tomb. The Lord Jesus Christ himself was buried in a tomb. His burial was included in the gospel. Now get that. You know, the definition of the gospel over in 1 Corinthians, it said, it is if we believe that Jesus was died and buried. So his burial was included in the gospel. He died, buried, rose again. So it is not just a tradition. Let me give you some reasons that they bury the body, and we still do. The first one is that your body in this life is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 said that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It is wrong to misuse your body at all. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, it's wrong to abuse it physically. It's wrong to abuse it. How that we eat, how that we conduct our life. A lot of people destroy their body by the way they live, their lifestyle, things like that. So the body is considered the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost leaves your body, it's true, when you die. But the body itself, being the temple of the Holy Ghost, is buried. And listen to this. Our bodies are the seed of the resurrection body. So the reason we bury our bodies, as the old song says, we are sown in weakness, raised in power. And the Bible talks about that. Our body was sown into the ground, and one day the Lord's going to raise that body and give you a new body. So the Christian and Old Testament and New Testament means of doing of a loved one's body when we die is burial. There's no doubt about it. Salvation itself includes the body. Do you realize your body is included in your salvation? You know, when you get saved, your body gets saved. It's paid for, but it's not born again. As I taught you the other Wednesday night. Also, our bodies are the members of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 15, the Bible said our bodies are the members of Christ. So, all the way through the Bible, we are taught to respect and honor this body. This body is to be respected and honored as the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, does that mean that, let's just say men were on a ship, and all these men were on a ship, and the enemy hit this ship with a torpedo, and it blew them to bits. That happens a lot of times in the war. People just get blew to smithereens. Little bits all over and scattered in the ocean. You say, what will happen to them? When the Lord comes back, if they were saved, somehow He can reassemble all those parts and pull their body up out of the sea. The Bible said the day's coming when the sea will give up the dead which is in it. Now, you say, well, I don't see how He can do that. Well, you take people that's buried in the ground 2,000 years ago, they ain't in too good a shape right now. And so, they seen Elvis at McDonald's. And I said, you really wouldn't want to see Elvis right now. Not right now. He'd been in the ground since 1977. But so the Lord's able to reassemble the elements of the body and pull it back. That's not our question tonight. We know that's going to happen at the resurrection. My question tonight is, this body, after it's dead, the life goes out of this body, what do we do with it? What kind of respect does it deserve, if any? I've heard well-meaning Christians. I know a good woman right now. She's gone now, but she used to say all the time, she'd say, look, when I die, please don't go spending all that. I don't want people coming and running. Just throw me in a ditch somewhere and cover me up. I've heard, and she thought that was being real religious and respectful, and she thought, I don't spend your money for flowers, just the rose, you know, and it won't sound real humble and all of that, and ain't nothing wrong with feeling like that, but according to the Bible, they didn't take their loved ones and just throw them in a ditch. According to the Bible, when they died, especially in that Old Testament, there was high regard and respect for that body. Let me say a few things about it, and I hope that it will help clear up this in your mind. Cremation in the Bible is identified in Joshua 7 with a curse and not an honorable burial for the body. In Amos chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible said, Moab burned the bones of the king of Edom in the lime, just in the ashes, like they do in a cremation. It seems proper and respectful to bury the body. I want to say cremation will not affect or change the resurrection of the body. If somebody's been cremated, that ain't going to stop them from going to heaven. It's got nothing to do with it. God will call that body up. That's not our issue tonight. The issue is, what do we do with that body? Let me say a little bit about the history of cremation. Do you know what that word means? Cremate. It means, it's from a Latin word, crematus, or cremare, and the word means to burn up. It comes in Aryan folklore. It implies that they were one of the first to dispose of a dead body. by gathering around a campfire and throwing the dead bodies in that fire. The Vikings, you hear about all these people that lived way back then. They were 8 foot tall, ate raw human flesh, jerked the animal's bone out and say, you know, and dragged a woman in the cave by the hair of her head, and people like that, crazy people. They were the tribes and the nomadic tribes, the Vikings, that said they placed a dead body on boats and set it on fire and pushed it out into the water. That was their custom. The nomadic tribes practiced cremation and was carried in urns, or little containers, and their ashes was in with them with their wanderings. I knew somebody one time, a lady told me, she said, my grandpa always told us to cremate him. She said he didn't want to be buried, he wanted to be cremated. And he loved this place up on the Blue Ridge Parkway up there. Said he always loved it. And he told us when he died to cremate him and take his ashes and scatter them out there over top of that, over that pretty place of them Blue Ridge Mountain. You hear a lot of people talk like stuff like that right nowadays. They say, well, I always loved Mount Mitchell, and that's where I want, you know, crazy stuff like that. Well, she said he finally died, and they had him cremated, and they put him in one of them little things, like a little vase or something, whatever what it is, little container like that. And she said they rode up there, their mama and his wife, and they all rode up there, and they said, Now, where was that place that he wanted to be? And one said, I believe it's right over. And they said, no, it's 4 or 5 miles down here. And they drove down there and they turned around, looked back, never could find it. And they finally got aggravated and just slung him out the window down in the woods somewhere. And that was Grandpa's wish, and that's what he got. Now, to me and you, I don't know about y'all, and please don't take this bad. Somebody in your family done that. But to me, that sounds pagan. It really does. To me, that sounds like some kind of heathen paganism where there's no respect for the dead body at all. You might want to do that. Start your church and preach whatever you want to. But I'm telling you what the Bible says tonight. And they have these urns have been located in Russia and Scandinavia, and cremation was widely practiced in India among the Hindus. Don't forget that. Those Eastern religions. Urns have been found everywhere. Cremation was widely practiced in the Roman Empire, and the Romans were greatly influenced by those philosophers, those wicked Greek people, and they believed that fire created every living thing, and the only way to free your body from the bond of matter was to burn it and reduce your body to its natural elements, ashes. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And that's what they believe. And for many, many years in the Roman Empire, that was a standard way of doing away with somebody when they died. And they said, listen to this, that the advent of Christianity and the doctrine of the resurrection is what changed and kill the belief in cremation in the Eastern War in Europe. In other words, it was widely practiced till Christianity came along and the Christians started preaching everywhere, your body's going to be resurrected. It's holy. It's a temple of God. And cremation went out of style. Matter of fact, Charlemagne passed a law against it, and it wasn't even allowed in that country. So it started off in pagan, heathen countries. Then the church came along. Jesus died. They buried him. He said, your body will be sown in weakness, raised in power. Who shall change our vile bodies that it might be fashioned like his glorious body. And so cremation, for the most part, ceased. There can be no doubt that the advent of Christianity stopped and prevented the doctrine of cremation in Europe. Now, where did the revival come from? Secular humanism. In 1869, there was an Italian scientist who devised a modern
method of cremation. They begin to cremate people, and what they do, where they do it now, they'll have this humongous furnace about as big as one of them columns to the other. And it has a big old thing here, a big old oven here, and a big old oven there, around 1800 degrees, something like that. They heat them up. I mean, nothing but like a furnace, blast furnace burning. Then they take their body, put them in something like a box or something like that, and then they'll put them in there and literally just reduce it to ashes. I don't mean to sound too crude, but that's what they do. They didn't start in the United States. It was unheard of until 1876. In 1900, only 1% of people who died were cremated. By 1960, it had increased to 3%. In the 60s, the revolution came. When the Beatles came and George Harrison sang, "My Sweet Lord," Hindu religion, old Maharaji, all them people come over here, and all the Eastern philosophy started, it began to rise, 3 out of 100, and by 2005, it's 30%. Probably 40 by now. In Japan, it's over 90%. In Nevada, it's 65, but in Tennessee, it's only 5. The influence of the Bible and Christianity is in Tennessee, and paganism is in Nevada. Now, let's move along here tonight, and we'll finish this up. We've had a revival in the last 30 or 40 years with the revival of secular humanism and the not belief in no hereafter, no heaven, no hell, no God, no eternity has caused people's view of our body to decrease, and the respect of the human body has sunk to an all-time low. Listen, a society which has no conscience about abortion and assisted suicide and euthanasia, that means killing old people that can't help themselves, will not feel a bit guilty over cremation. Secular humanism has made us a throwaway society. And in general, a disrespect for the body is made in God's image. No wonder. Public respect. I remember years ago when I first started preaching, when a funeral procession would come down the road, everybody would pull off the side of the road. You think they do that now? Listen, I have to do funerals a lot. They always have the police car, and police won't even hardly help you much no more. They just about quit doing that. Used to, the police car go first, then the preacher, then the hearse, then the family, and then everybody else. Buddy, now I don't tell them, they'll come. You know, this is awful, but the only thing I love about going in, you get to run red lights. That's awful. That is awful. There's something in me, I love to just go right on them red lights and laugh at people. Hey, how you doing? I know that sounds crazy to y'all. That's how rebellious my flesh is. It's just the coolest feeling just to go right on them red lights. But anyway, you got your headlights on, you go, people don't pull over. I mean, they go by with loud music. They'll go by, brother, up with hollering and screaming. No, we don't have any respect for the dead anymore. You say, "Oh, they're dead, that don't matter." But I'm going to get to that now. People say, "Don't spend no money on me. Just throw me over and sling a little mud on top of me. It don't matter." When a person says that, they are forgetting about the spiritual and psychological welfare of their family that they leave behind. You see, that burial and that funeral service ain't for you. It's to give your family a chance to properly grieve and accept death. I heard people say, "Well, you know why it's hard for somebody when somebody gets killed and they can't find them, and maybe they get abducted and they find out they're dead, or they got killed in war or something, and they got sunk a ship or something. It's harder for a family like that because you never see them. You never see them. Your mind plays tricks on you, and you think, "Well, Lord, maybe they're still alive somewhere." When you see that person laying there, and you know that's it, and you're not going to see them no more in this world, and you also see that that's not really them, Their soul is done gone to be with the Lord. But there's just something comforting about that. When I saw my mom laying there, I saw her, brother back there, just saw his mom just the other day, laid there. When you realize they don't have to hurt no more, they don't have to suffer no more, they'll never have to go to the doctor again, they'll never have to, you think, glory to God, it helps you to accept what's happening. Get on with life and remember the Lord. Listen, I've seen them funerals before, and I've seen them bodies go down in the grave. I've seen people stand there and say, you can't keep him grave. You ain't going to keep him. One of these days that trumpet's going to sound. The Lord's going to say, get up. And they're coming up out of that grave. Amen. Say a few more things and I'll be done. There's two reasons why cremation is so popular now. Economy and simplicity. It's cheaper. But the viewing, the funeral procession are all a part of meeting the needs of a family. The burial is a picture of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Neighbors are allowed to come and show their respect and concern and compassion, and it draws communities together. People ain't spoke to each other for a long time sometimes make things right with each other at a funeral service. Since we identify a person by their body, that's how you identify people. That's how we know who each other is. If we all looked exactly alike, you wouldn't know who's who. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be weird? But we all look different, thank God. And you identify people by their body. I've always wondered about it. I used to sit around and I'd wonder how everybody looks different. You can take a lady like Miss Shelley there, Peanut. She has dark hair. Miss Sue has dark hair. But I can tell in a second that's Miss Sue and that's Shelley. It just, even if you don't see nothing but from here up, eyes, if you don't, we all look different. Amen? And you see that body laying there, you realize they're gone. They ain't coming back. They checked out. And that's how we identify them. Serious psychological problems can develop when a person does not accept the death of a loved one. Have you ever met somebody that just will not accept somebody dying? I've met people like that. It's like they can't accept it. They go crazy for weeks and months, and sometimes they never are right sin. They've never been taught. You got to teach your children that we're all going to die if Jesus don't come. I don't see why they don't teach that in college. And they should teach a college course on dying. We're all going to have to do it. They teach you to prepare your taxes. They teach you to do it then. So one of these days, they don't even talk about it. You know why? Because they start thinking about that hereafter. That's why. They start feeling guilty. All right. Let me finish this up right quick. Placing the body in a pleasant and beautiful surrounding makes it more bearable and easier for the family. Now, I know a lot of times we don't have the money to do... I'm not even in favor of elaborate funerals. I'm not. When we went to bury my mom, me and my sister went up there at the funeral home in Marion. We went up there. And I don't mean this bad, but them people are in business to make money. And they'll take advantage of you real quick at a time like that because they know you're all tore up and everything. And I want the best for Mama. Brother, the best for Mama might cost you about $15,000. The truth is, if they're in a modest box, Mom always said that. She said, don't you dare go spend a bunch of money. She done had her cemetery plot and everything bought and paid for. She said, don't y'all dare go up there and spend a bunch of money on me. And I reminded my sister, I said, you know what Mom said. And she said, all right, Danny, we'll get a nice one. But I know, Lord, these people get some with gold trim, you know, and everything. And I'm not fussing at you if you've done that, but really, it's a waste of money to spend $8,000 and $10,000 and $12,000 on a box that you're going to put in the ground, and that ain't them anyway. But when you see them there, and the flowers and everything, it does give you a chance to remember them in the right way. And I'm all for that. I'm all for it. If I ever die, you'd better cry. I mean it. I mean it. You better cry. I'm going to come back and smite you with a curse. You better say something nice too. It gives their loved ones a sense of comfort. The body is at rest until Jesus comes. Now let me say this and I'm through this evening. The most important thing is the needs of the soul and the spirit, not your body. You can have an expensive funeral and be burning in hell like the rich man did. Lazarus didn't have no funeral, but he was carried by the angels of Abraham's bosom. So the funeral really don't mean nothing for the person who's gone. Amen? Oh, boy, I've been to funerals. I've been to a bunch of them. I hate them all. I've never been to a funeral I liked. I tell you, boy, it's awful. It's an awful feeling. Even if you don't know people, it's still just a terrible feeling. That old death. And I've been to funerals where they got up and they'd brag and they'd brag and they'd brag. I preached a guy's funeral one time. He's mean as a snake. But he got saved and he backslid and he got saved and he backslid. And me and a Church of God preacher and another preacher was supposed to preach a funeral. And I knew the guy. I got up and preached. The first preacher got up and said, I know he's saved, he's in heaven. And then the Church of God preacher got up and said, no, he wasn't saved, he's in hell. I mean, he didn't say it in them words, but he just said, I'm sorry he died in this condition. And then he said, somebody say hallelujah. And I was sitting over there thinking, I gotta preach after this. Man's up there saying hallelujah and man's in hell. So the first one preached him into heaven, second one preached him into hell, and I got up and tried to smooth it over and just say some nice things for the family. And you know, there's nothing, he's in the hands of a just God. That's what you always say. When you don't know where they went, you say he's in the hands of a just God. In the back of your mind you're thinking, I would not want to be him. But you know, you don't want to say that. I don't think you ought to get up and just, you know, there ain't nothing you can say for that fellow. The truth is, nobody. You don't preach nobody's funeral. You preach your own funeral. By the way you live, people remember that. The preacher got up. Lord, they said one time one of them funeral homes, they have different rooms, you know, and everything. And the preacher got up and he said he was this and he was that and he was this. And everybody know that guy's mean as a snake. And the preacher got up and bragged on him. And they was looking at each other like, what? And the woman punched her son and said, go up there and see if that's your daddy laying in that thing. I think we went in the wrong room. We stumbled into another service or something. You ain't going to change nobody after they're gone. Your burial ain't going to help you when you leave this world. It doesn't matter if you're cremated, buried, thrown in the ocean, scattered, shot to the moon. It ain't going to help you when you leave this world. You're in heaven or hell. You're in heaven or hell. And the most important thing is that your soul is in hell. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? That's the best story. That's that rich man. The Bible said the rich man died and was buried. I guarantee you that dude had a funeral. Man, there was flowers, there was dignitaries, presidents, kings and nobles, and he was in hell. And the Bible said Lazarus died. Dogs was out licking him. And he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. So really the most important thing ain't what happens to this body. All I was trying to do is answer the question about what we do with this body after it dies. Now, I don't mean to make you feel bad. There's probably somebody sitting in here tonight. You say, well, Brother Danny, we had my daddy or we had my grandpa or my aunt cremated because our family couldn't afford it. I'm not condemning you. And as far as I can see, the Bible don't just flat out condemn it, but the Scripture strongly supports that the body have a burial strongly and that we respect this body even after it's dead. I know a place not too far from here and I'm telling you what, I've heard tales. I don't know if they're true or not. Or a bunch of people on the other side of Marion, and when somebody died in that community, they'd get drunk. Everybody would get, years ago they used to keep the person in the house. You know, how many of y'all remember seeing when they kept him in the house? Man, they used to do that. And they'd get drunk and have a party. And they'd get them up and dance with them around in the living room. Honest to goodness, I've heard that. I've heard that from several different people. I've had people tell me, "Man, I've seen them do it." And I said, "You are out of your mind. I ain't dancing with no zombie." Three zombies come from, brother. I was thinking about them zombies. I was thinking about those zombies. You know what zombies are, kids? You know why they're so popular? Because the devil hates the Bible and he tries to mimic and counterfeit everything God does. And when Jesus rose from the dead, them people come up from the dead with him. And they were out walking around like that. All these zombies are just a counterfeit of everything God did in the Bible. When Jesus said, and they didn't walk around like this with blood coming out of their mouth. Son, they was Moses and all them saying, "Woo! We're out of purgatory," or wherever they've been. Amen. And we're on our way to heaven. Hallelujah. That's right. But listen, the bottom line is we ought to be saved and ready to meet the Lord. And when a person dies, respect that body. You might not have the money to give them a burial. I don't know. I hear that all the time now. People call all the time saying, "So-and-so died, and we ain't got the money to bury him." Somebody coming not long ago said they, somebody died and we ain't got the money to bury him. I said, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And they said, "Well, can you help us?" I said, "Well, we can help you a little bit, but I mean, you're talking $5,000 minimum. We can't do that. Church can't give you $5,000 to bury somebody." And they said, "Well, what are we going to do?" I said, "I don't know. You just going to leave him out forever? Ain't there a law or some kind of law that you can't just tell them, say, we can't afford it. Do what you want to with them." That's awful, isn't it? But some people have to do it. But do the best you can.
What's wrong? I've got a website where you can order your casket. A lot cheaper than the same place the funeral home.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you can do that in Nebo Casket Store. Ain't that right? The Nebo Casket Store is like half price, y'all. This is almost the most morbid service we've ever had since. There's an awful spirit in here. So, who else had something? Walmart? No, you cannot. Walmart sells caskets? Lord, I was going to say, I ain't going, where they? What aisle are they on? I'm going to go in there and get fitted up for one. I've heard people doing that. Listen, I've heard people, some of my kinfolks up in West Virginia, some man had his casket all built, to fit him and everything, and he'd get in there once in a while and say, "How do I look?" I'd lose a little weight. Don't fit in here like I did last year. No, you don't want to get like that. You don't want to get like that. Anybody else want to say something right quick? Okay. All right. I'm done. Anybody else feel the need to come to the altar? Anybody need to repent? Amen. I believe, here's my personal belief. I don't condemn nobody. I preach funerals. I had one not long ago where the cremated. I don't condemn the family. I don't say you're sinning, nothing like that. I can't say that. My personal feeling is we ought to respect this body and give it a decent. I believe that's biblical. Okay? That's my opinion. All right. All minds and hearts clear. Amen. All right. God bless you. Let's stand.